Today, we are talking about a health issue that doesn't often get the attention it deserves, but affects the lives of many women in silence, which is fistula. Joining us today in the studio are two dedicated health professionals from South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association in South Sudan, who are at the forefront of fistula awareness and care. We have Mr. William Saba Daniel, Acting Fistula Coordinator, a registered nurse. Good morning, William.
Morning.
And we also have Ms. Amal Helen Lam, a fistula mobilizer and also registered nurse. Good morning, Amal.
Good morning.
William, for someone hearing about fistula for the first time, what is it really? Can you break it down to everyone?
Okay, thank you very much, Magdalene, and I really thank Radio Mirai so much for hosting us and South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association for giving us this privilege to come today here. When we look at obstetric fistula, it is actually an abnormal opening between a woman's birth canal, more especially the vagina, which may result into uncontrollable leakage of urine or feces. And we have so many examples, or we have so many types of obstetric fistula. One, we have the vascovaginal fistula, that is the opening, that is normally the opening between the urinary bladder and the vagina, which normally results into leakage of urine. We also have the rectovaginal fistula, which is normally the opening between the anal and the vagina, which normally results into leakage of feces. Though we have other types like urethrovaginal fistula, which is normally that tube between the tube from the kidney, which also results into the urine leakage. And we also have the combined fistula, whereby a woman may have both the vaginal fistula, and at the same time, you may find out that this woman also has the rectovaginal fistula.
Mm. And since you have been documenting all these cases across South Sudan, which one is the most common among women?
The two types, actually, the vascovaginal fistula and recto.
Okay.
Though others are not all that common.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring in Ms. Amal. What are some of the most common signs and symptoms that might suggest a woman has fistula?
Okay, thank you. The commonest sign and symptom is uncontrollable leakage of urine. You can find that the woman cannot control the urine. It just goes. Then the second one is recurrent UTI. And the third one is the woman is feeling some irritations and some rashes around private parts. Yeah.
And okay, let's get to understand this. What happens if someone does not actually get the treatment? And let's also know this. Can fistula lead to other complications, physically or even emotionally?
Yeah, fistula normally makes you physically, emotionally unstable. You will be isolated yourself from your colleagues. You cannot be able to go to attend parties, going to in front of people because you are fearing the smell. Secondly, many women were divorced and separated by their families, their husband, because she is leaking, and others are also affecting them. When a woman is having fistula, she cannot be able to produce. Or if she gets pregnant, she has used to have recurrent abortions. Mm. So it is affecting people in the low, more especially in the low rural areas. There is also stigmatizations. They are stigmatized. For instance, Ayin Uzole is urinating on the body. So most of them are isolated and they are staying in a small place. They are fearing. So psychologically and socially, it's really typical. They are too stressful because they are not united to the friends. They have been separated with the friends, with the family, with the communities. So others are committing suicide. Others are depressed. So we are sending this information to everyone who knows somebody or relative who is having a fistula. At least let them come and register. So that because our operation will start on the in the beginning of August next month. Actually, this year we started the operations in May. Here in Juba, we operated almost 72 fistula clients, and in Wau we operated 42. So we are still encouraging many to come. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Let me bring in Mr. William again. What causes this fistula? And as Ms. Amal mentioned, that it is mostly in rural areas. Why is it only or commonly in rural areas, and what causes it?
Okay. Thank you very much for the chance again. As we talk about obstetric fistula, there are so many causes.
Mm.
And the most common one is obstetric fistula. I mean, obstructed labor.
Mm.
When a woman has that labor that takes too long, like around 24 hours or beyond 24 hours, whereby the baby's head may start putting pressure on the birth canal, and in that process, there will be cut off of blood supply. And when this blood supply is cut off, there is tissue necrosis, and that is why you see most of the women having this leakage and so on. And then another cause may be due to lack of birth attendants or unskilled birth attendants. If in most cases, like in the rural areas where we don't have trained health personnel or trained birth attendants, most of the women normally deliver through difficulties, and in this case they end up experiencing this obstetric fistula. And then poverty also proves to be one of the factor or one of the cause that normally result into obstetric fistula, in a way that most of the women who live below the poverty line have no access to emergency obstetric care services. And in this case, they're actually exposed as fistula survivors or fistula clients. Then another cause could be some harmful traditional practices like the female genital mutilation, even things to do with early marriage, whereby most of the girls below 18, their pelvics actually are not mature enough. And in this case, once they get married in this at an early stage, there are high chances that because of the pelvic being immature, fistula may occur in the process of delivery.
Mm.
Then another cause could be injuries, most especially during surgeries. That is the most common one we normally have in the hospitals. If the surgery is not done very well, most especially during obstetric labor, there are high chances that most of the women are likely to experience obstetric fistula. And then lastly, we have early marriage and the early pregnancy, as I've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the few causes that we have, though we have so many of them.
Okay. Ms. Amal just mentioned that August, you're going to have another campaign and you're going to carry out some operations. I don't know whether in Juba. So the question is, do we have any data about the people maybe you are planning to operate them in next month? Or do you have data about the number of women affected with fistula in South Sudan?
Of course, as Sanama, because we have the project roadmap whereby Sanama deals with the mobilization.
Mm-hmm.
And in the mobilization process, we do awareness, we do registration of suspected cases, and then we normally refer them for screenings. So those confirmed cases are actually registered, and then they are sent to the other partners who do the treatment aspect, like Codiate and Amref. They are the ones who normally do the treatment. So as Sanama, that normally do the mobilization process, we actually have the data. We have the data. As I said, in the last campaign that took place in June, we were able to operate, or we were able to mobilize 18 fistula persons that were operated in Juba, and we also have 43 that were operated in Lutheran Hospital, that is within Juba, that is by Amref. In the month of June. Then of recently, there was also another campaign or surgical campaign that took place in Wau, whereby around 55 of these fistula survivors were actually operated successfully, though some of the cases are not fistula-related cases, but through the mobilization that Sanama is doing and through the help of other partners like CODET and the AMREF that is doing the treatment with the support from UNPA, we are able to reach that level with the...
Okay. Now you are planning to carry out operations in August. How many number of patients are you going to operate next month?
It depends on the mobilization. As for now, we don't have that specific number, but we have already, because the plan is for, AMREF is planning to do the next surgical campaign in Eastern Equatoria and Western Equatoria. So their surgeries normally depend on the number of the clients in the area. And as of now, we have around 40 and above. That is for both Western and Eastern Equatoria. That will be for the next campaign that will take place in August, as he has mentioned. And then also, CODET is planning to do the next medical campaign in Eastern Equatoria. Also, the incorporated Upper Nile. They will also bring in patients from Unity, Jongule, and so on. So we have also prepared a list, the list of the clients, and we have in our data currently, we have around 35 of them, though the mobilizers are still sending in more of the names, clients or more of the names.
Okay. Let me bring in Ms. Amal again. You are a fistula mobilizer. What exactly does that mean? What do you do with the community?
Thank you. Yes, I'm a fistula mobilizer. Most of the things, what we are doing in the community is that we normally give health education and awareness about fistula, the causes of fistula, preventive measures, and we also tell them how to prevent themselves on fistula. And we also inform them, like normally I used to move in ANC, different PACCs. I go like... If I move to different PACCs, then you give also awareness in churches. Like now this week, we have been distributing letters to all churches. So to give them announcement about fistula, availability of treatment of fistula in South Sudan, in case they have, in case anyone is having somebody suffering with fistula, so report to Juba Teaching Hospital or to nearby health facility for treatment. And we also give awareness in funeral places, in gathering places, like in the wedding places, like in football places. Yeah, this is how we used to mobilize them. So most of them, they used to come. They used to come and find us, like in antenatal. If they come, then they we give them our telephone numbers. They called, then we come and we register. After registering, we bring them for screening. After screening, then I do report their names and to the coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah.
And William, is a fistula treatable? And once it is managed and treated, does it treat itself once and for all, or it can come back again?
Okay. Fistula is actually treatable and preventable. Unless if it is complex. And the main treatment is actually the surgery. We do that the CODET and the AMREF is currently doing. And that is why... through the support from the Minister of Health, these partners are actually doing free treatment, because it is it is actually a burden if it is not actually offered as a free kind of surgery. Some of the people may not afford, and the people who suffer most are the people in the remote areas. So it is preventable and it is treatable, though most of the people in the community live with the fistula because of awareness issue, because of the fear that they don't want to come and say that I have this condition like this and so on. So fistula is treatable and it can be cured.
Okay. And we understand that you work across the country, not only in Juba, maybe in all the 10 states and other administrative areas that we have in South Sudan. What exactly does SANAMA do in terms of raising awareness in these areas, especially in hard-to-reach areas or rural areas of South Sudan, where many or most of these cases are?
Okay, I'm really very happy with the work SANAMA is doing currently, because SANAMA is doing tremendous job in as far as this fistula campaign or fistula mobilization is concerned. SANAMA actually has have around 79 fistula mobilizers currently recruited through the chapters. We have 18 chapters across the state, the 10 states, whereby SANAMA has managed to create 79 mobilizers who are working in all the counties or in all the 79 counties in South Sudan. And these 79 mobilizers go up to the grassroots level, disseminating the message about obstetric fistula, as Hamal has said. The first is to talk about obstetric fistula itself. What is it to the community level?
Mm.
The causes, the signs. How do one identify that this person is suffering from obstetric fistula? So through these 79 mobilizers that SANAMA have recruited in all the 79 counties in South Sudan, we are able to trace out these cases from the grassroots level. And then these cases, if they are in the grassroots levels whereby there are no health facilities nearby, they normally refer them to the nearby or to the PSCCs or to the PSCUs for screening, because there are some cases also that are related to fistula. But with the proper screening from specialized doctors, that is when the cases may be actually figured out and they're actually referred again. They're actually registered, and then we now send them to the treatment partners like CODET and AMREF. And then after the treatment or after the surgery, after when the repair is normally done, what we do as SANAMA is to reintegrate them again, so that they feel back down in the society again.
Right.
After surgery, we still follow these patients. We do counseling, most special about their condition. We tell them that this condition is treatable, as I said, and in most cases, like as per now, last week, SANAMA integrated around 15 of them, whereby they are given some startup capital, whereby they are going to engage in their businesses, so that to help them, so that they feel back in the community, so that they also feel that they are humans, you see. As Amala said, because of this fistula, most of the husbands have actually separated from their partners, you see, which has actually stressed them too much. And psychologically, they are tortured, they think a lot, and because of this, some of them end up committing suicide, which is not good. Though we have not experienced some of the cases whereby a woman has actually committed a suicide about the condition related to fistula, but these are expected results that may happen if they have that psychological trauma and so on. So with the SANAMA, we are really doing great work through the mobilizers, whereby they go to the community, they go to the churches, to go to the gathering places, disseminating these messages, and we are actually registering cases, and the surgeries are actually taking place.
Great. How long does it take for a patient of fistula to recover fully and then maybe get pregnant once again?
Yeah, thank you. Because I'm...
You work with the women.
Yeah, I work with women. I'm one of the survivors also. Mm. Mine was there. Like, he was telling us about other related cases.
Yes.
The related cases like tear, there are other women, if they are giving birth, they have some tear, like second degree tear, third degree tear, and it was not stitched. So with that cases, sometimes their husband complained that, hey, you are large. Sometimes when they want to bow down, they feel like there is some, like... some wind coming out, coming in front. So those cases also we are repairing and we bring them back. Then secondly, like uterine prolapse. There are other women like who are gravida 10, gravida 7, when they are like pushing during delivery, they push the uterus outside. Mm. So in that process, they could not when they are deep in the village, there's no health facility. Like the uterus will be just outside.
Yeah.
So such cases also, we are registering them, we are treating them, and we return them back at least to become normal. So in this process, immediately after operation, the doctor can advise that like a woman who should stay at least for 3 to 6 months without having sex. Secondly, without doing heavy work.
Mm.
She should not do heavy work like carrying a lot of things, heavy things, talking a lot, shouting and other things.
Mm.
So after 6 months also, they will be advised her at least to stay for 9 months, then she can plan to get pregnant. Mm. But sometimes if she's patient, normally the doctor advises her to stay for 1 year so that the things can be cured or strong enough for her to at least when she get pregnant, she will be able at least to get that strength. That wound also, that scars will be sealed.
Mm.
So that when she's pushing, she will not also sustain another tear.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, both of you work directly with the community. Have you had any touching cases where someone was successfully treated and reintegrated into their community successfully and the marriage maybe is repaired and they are living happily?
Yes, we have people whom we treated them, especially people who were operated last year.
Mm.
They gave also a testimony when they were opening the fistula during the fistula campaign.
Mm.
Before starting, you know, there was a meeting held. So there are other people who make a testimony,
yes.
Husband and wife. That lady, she was primary gravid means somebody who has just conceived for the first time.
Mm.
So she was she got pregnant when she was 14 years old.
She's a child.
So yeah, she was a child when she was giving birth. She had some tear, fistula, VVF, of which the family of the husband were advising the husband to divorce her, but the husband stood still. They tried to look for treatment, but it was so expensive. With process, they were admitted by the government and she was treated. So last year, they reintegrate them and they are now together with the husband. And also they testify in iRadio.
Mm.
People were very happy. They were given even some money to start for their business and to start their life. So they were happy couples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we wind up this conversation, fistula is often hidden due to shame. People are afraid, people are ashamed that the community might judge them. So what can communities do to support women affected by fistula instead of isolating them or keeping them hidden from the society and the community?
What I can advise the community, let them not judge somebody that this person, you are not the cause of that fistula. It is a situation where the child is the one who make it to you. So fistula is normal, fistula is treatable, and fistula is preventable. So for the community to know that fistula is treatable and preventable, first of all, they need to ensure access to skilled care during childbirth. Secondly, they need to have the timely access to emergency obstetric services, e.g. like cesarean sections. Thirdly, like delaying age of marriage and first pregnancies, they need to delay. Like we normally in South Sudan, we used to advise them at least you need to reach 18 and above.
Mm.
That one is when your pelvic is already adequate to carry the baby off for productions.
Mm.
Then we can also advise them promoting family planning to avoid unwanted pregnancy. Family planning is very important. You need at least to promote it. We have different types of family planning, okay?
Yeah,
we can advise them on that. Then raising awareness and education about maternal health. Like right now we are raising awareness. We need to continue. Like we need to advise the midwives in all health sectors, at least before starting work, they need to give health education in antenatal, the importance of antenatal, the importance of hospital deliveries, the importance of taking this folic acid, iron, and a lot of things. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much, Amat.
Yeah.
Lastly, let me bring in William. William, now together with AMREF, Court Aid, and other organizations, you are planning different campaigns in different states in the country to help women who are suffering from fistula. What would you say to any woman or any family member who might be suffering quietly, thinking that there's no help at this moment? Where can they go to get help and at what time?
Okay, thank you so much. My advice to the family members or the community around is that, as Amala said, fistula is treatable and it is preventable. Let us not keep silent with the cases related to fistula. If you find a neighbor who actually happened to be having the signs that we have mentioned before, maybe there is a leakage of urine, or the person has some infection like recurrent UTIs, you actually need to report to the mobilizers. As I said, our mobilizers are in all the 79 states. Or you can even go to the nearby health facilities, or you go to the neighbor that your condition here needs musesfa. It can't explain lo beteregal kweskida o bagder fime and o bagder roa fi musesfa asen bisaido. Then the communities will not look into this case of fistula as a condition that maybe cannot be managed, or they should start divorcing, more especially the husbands. No, it is not like that. Your wife can be, if your wife has the condition, the person can be treated and you actually live a normal life. Unless if the condition is so complex that the surgery may be done and it will fail. But there are normally surgeries that fail, but still, I mean fistula cases that are repaired, but they fail, but still, it can be repaired. So the community members will actually not isolate such kind of people in the community. I'm happy that Sanama, Codette, and the other partners are actually working so hard that fistula is eradicated completely within South Sudan by the next by 2030 as planned.
Now, can you remind our listeners about the dates of the surgical camps that are going to happen in different states in South Sudan?
Okay, according to AMREF, they are actually starting on the 16th of August. But we may never know, maybe they will also change their plan, but that is the date that they have communicated to us, because we are the one doing the registration and the work based on the list that we have as Sanama. Then Codette also is actually planning to start their campaign in Eastern Equatoria and the Upper Nile Jongole and Rueng administrative area. They have actually planned to start on day 10 to day 14. That is when they will start the transportation of this client to the center where they are going to do the surgical campaign or where they are going to do the operations. But we may never know, maybe things will change. And maybe if there are changes in the plans that they have also, they will communicate to us, and then we shall also communicate to the fistula client so that they get the clear date.
Okay. Thank you so much, William, for being part of this show. Thank you so much, Amal.
Thank you.
Yes, Amal.
Okay. They are Risala Leta Kumfi, Le Junub Sudan, a community girl. Ismi Tai Amal Helen Lam. Under Kun Letangali, Fi Ayan Ismu Fistula, Fistula Das and Lusural Bull. Can itai no Iazol fi your healer, Indu Muscular fi Bull, Tal Lana Fimusis for Juba, Au Nadi Sifir, Itnin, Hamsa Itnin. Sita tamania tamania sifir. Amelia tamina gibada yomsi tashara shar tamania alfem o kamso shirin. Shukran.
Shukran shedida mal for being part of the show.